I was young, but now I'm old. Amen. When I spoke on Acts chapter 16, I spoke on the conversion of this successful businesswoman named Lydia. She was the first convert, a Gentile convert in Europe. And from Europe, the gospel of Jesus Christ went to the Western world. And I must say, some of us here, or many of us here, has been blessed because of the countless missionaries that were sent out of this country, the Western world, to Asia, to Australia, and even New Zealand. Just one person got converted. But for her to be converted, God must send a messenger. God can use other avenue. He can use dream. He can use vision. He can use even an angel to visit Lydia. But God chose to use what? Man and woman. Ordinary man and woman. He used Peter. I mean, all of us, when we look at Peter, he has his fault. He used Paul. He is a persecutor of the church. He used you and me. And this is something that is shocking to us, that God chose the weak to confront the strong. He chose the foolish to make those who think they are wise really foolish. This is God's doing, that God chose messenger like you, like me, to become the messenger of the good news of Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus, He was the message. He carried the message. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Yet, He was also the messenger sent by God the Father to a lost, perishing, and sinful world, condemned to lost eternity. But Jesus, the message and the messenger, came with a message of salvation and hope to those who believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. Today, He sent us as His messenger. Yes, you are God's messenger. Send us with His authority and His power. And Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, even so I send you, my representative, my messenger, in John chapter 20, verse 20. We are sent as a messenger with the gospel of Jesus Christ to the same lost, same perishing, and same sinful world hating for lost eternity. Acts chapter 17, my message title is The Messenger. Paul saw himself as a messenger entrusted with a message of the gospel, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul did not hide the message. He did not bury the message. He went near and far to share the message in every opportunity, even with great opposition against him. He did not stop Paul from being a faithful messenger. You are the messenger that God sent. My question to you, how about you? Are you still carrying the message of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ? In those days, the king would send messenger. Messengers are not ambassador. Ambassador is sent by the king, And the ambassador's job is try to be good to every people they meet. Messengers are sent with only one thing, to announce and to proclaim the king message as it is. The messenger cannot alter. He must speak the king message word for word and line for line. He cannot color code the message so that the people who hear it will be happy with the king. The messenger's job is to tell the message as it is. And how the hearer responds to the message is not the messenger's responsibility. It's the hearer's responsibility. When you look at the four gospels, wherever and whenever Jesus, both the message and the messenger, when he preached the kingdom of God, he would encounter different response from different groups, from different people. When Jesus preached the kingdom as the message and the messenger, some believe, some question, some reject him, and some even give him a hard time and accuse him, false accusation against him and persecute him. And finally, they crucified Jesus, the message and the messenger. But God raised him from the dead. Jesus never changed his message or toned down his message. He never repacked the message to suit those who hear or sought to please the hearer. Jesus never altered, changed, modified, or watered the message. So were his disciples. So must we. Sadly, our Western Christianity, in trying to be more acceptable to the world and trying to be more contemporary and relevant in their own understanding, but not according to Scripture, have done the opposite of what the messenger is supposed to do, to speak the king message as it is without changing it. And so when the Western Christianity changed it in doing this, we lose our power, we lose our standing, and we lose our influence as salt and light. But not Paul. He stood firm, unshakable, unmovable to announce the uncompromised and unaltered message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when he did that in Acts chapter 17, they accused him. These are those who turn the world upside down in verse 6. They have turned the world upside down and they have come to us now. You know, when you hear the accusation of them against Paul for turning the world upside down, to them is an accusation. But to Paul and to the believer in the early church, it is a compliment. A compliment, because he is saying, this man had radical impact the world and nothing seems the same. That's what we are as messenger. We are to impact our world that nothing seems to be the same because of who we are. Children of God that carry the message of life within us. The fact is, the world is chaotic. The world is really upside down. What Paul and the gospel actually is doing is to turn the world right side up. like Paul, we must be faithful messenger to proclaim the gospel in our days. Yes, when we share the message, we will offend and upset some segment of the society. The gospel is offensive to the natural mind. Paul tells us, foolish to the Greek and stumbling block to the Gentiles. And you will cause some to oppose us, but we must not shrink back. Rather, we must become faithful messenger as of the early church when they say to themselves, we have chosen to obey God and please God rather than what? Than men. Messenger of Jesus Christ, you carry the most powerful message of Christ in you. Tell the message to those that you meet. In Acts chapter 17, Paul, the messenger sent by God to proclaim the king message as he is. And he went to three different cities and he received three different responses. We see the same three responses that Jesus had when he proclaimed the kingdom of God is here. And this will be the same three response that you will face when you become the messenger of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. How people respond 2,000 years ago is the same how they will respond today, and they will respond the same way till Jesus returns. The first response is found in verse 1 to verse 9. They are the resister of the message. In verse 2 and verse 3, then Paul, as his custom was, went to them, and for 3 Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scripture, explaining and demonstrating that Christ has to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. Paul was in Thessalonica, and for 3 Sabbaths he faithfully reasoned with the Jews. He did not argue, he reasoned with the Jews. Reason in Hebrew is dialogue. He had a dialogue, a discussion with the Jews in the synagogue. And he told them that Jesus Christ is the promised Messiah. He was crucified, he was buried, and rose from the dead. In this dialogue that he has with the Jews, he gives them opportunity to ask questions so that he can answer them. Is it wrong for us to have dialogue, question and answer with hearer? Of course it is not. But be careful. Be careful when it's seekers and hearer asking question for question's sake. All they want to do is to ask you question, but they are not interested in what you believe. Be careful. Don't get caught into it. And when they ask you question, the only answer that you can give to the question they ask, the only authority that you have as a messenger is you answer them, not what I say, not what other people say, not what YouTube say, not what my pastor say. It is what the Bible say. That is your authority as the messenger. You carry the Bible, God's word, and you answer them. Answer their question from the word of God. This is what the Bible say. Because I'm telling you, 2,000 years ago to now, the Bible is still the same. He reasoned with them with dialogue. He reasoned with them by opening the scripture, giving them clarity and simplicity of the scripture. Sometimes the scripture is hard to understand. How many realize? Especially the Old Testament, the things are concealed, but the New Testament are being revealed. So Paul used the Old Testament And then he explained what is concealed in the New Testament event that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the Christ. In the same way, Jesus was with his disciple. He used the Old Testament scripture to espouse his death and resurrection. And then the eyes and the understanding of the disciple were opened. Our authority to carry the message and to speak the message as he is because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We call it the gospel. The gospel that lifts Jesus higher and above any other philosopher, teacher, or spiritual leader this world has ever had. Because of his resurrection, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Paul never argued with the Jews. He presented the gospel. You must never argue when you share the gospel. He presented it and he allowed who? Who does the conviction? Not you. If you do it, it will become condemnation. He allowed the Holy Spirit to bring conviction into their heart. You can never win anyone to Christ by arguing with them. You may win an argument, but you will lose your friend or an opportunity. I think as Christians, sometimes in our zeal, we just like to argue, don't you think so? You don't have to argue to prove that you are right. You live your life to prove that you are right. An old saying, never argue about politics or religion with anyone and even with your wife. The message of the good news was too good to some. Was good to some. They responded in faith and belief. The devoted Jews, the God-seekers, and those converted to Judaism became believers of Jesus Christ. Some believe when Paul shared. But at the same time, others resist and reject the message. They become resistors and rejecters of the message. Not only that, they become trouble stirrer. They become trouble stirrer and stir a riot against Paul for disturbing the peace. With this false accusation that Paul promoted another king, Jesus, than Caesar. And that accusation was a serious crime that will cause Paul, by punishment of that crime, death. Later, when Paul wrote to his two epistles to the Thessalonian church, he stressed on the kingship of Jesus Christ and his return. This is the reason why we become messengers of the gospel, because we represent who? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we have what? An everlasting kingdom. Paul and Silas, the messenger, had to leave the city and not return. But they did not give up, surrender, hide, or take time off. They continued to announce the king message without fear, without compromise, without doubt, because they have the only message. I'm telling you, you have the only message to save humanity. Government has no answer. United Nations has no answer. No one has answer. The only answer to world problem, to world need, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. He created us. He died for us. He is the answer. I am reminded of the word of our Lord Jesus to his disciple, also called to be the messenger. In John chapter 15, verse 20, do you remember what I told you? A slave or servant is not greater than the master. Since they persecute me, since they resist me, since they reject me, naturally they will do what? The same to you. But if they have listened to me, they will also listen to you. I want you to encourage every messenger of Jesus Christ that is in this room. I want you to be encouraged. You are not greater than Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Master. They persecute him. They will persecute you. They reject him. They will reject you. They resist him. They will resist you. You are not greater than Jesus Christ. So, as a messenger of Jesus Christ, my first advice to you is don't take rejection personally. We all sitting here, we all want to be loved. Put up your hand if you don't want to be loved. We all want to be loved. We don't want to be rejected. And one of the reasons why we do not share the gospel as a messenger, because we don't want to be what? Rejected. And do not be afraid of their faces, but rather be like the faithful messenger of the early church, rejoicing that God has called them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus Christ. Acts 5, verse 14. The second response is receiver of the message. There you see from Acts chapter 10 to chapter 15. The messenger with a life-saving message cannot stop and must not stop, but must go whenever available and possible to proclaim it. This is just what Paul and Silas did. One door closed. They look for another door, the door to Berea, which is about 45 miles from Thessalonica. Again, Paul went to the synagogue, and there they discover a group of people. They are very keen to study the Old Testament scripture. In fact, this group of people meet daily to search the scripture to determine whether or not what Paul said was true or not. Paul was overjoyed and encouraged by the way the Bereans conducted their faith. In verse 11, they received the word with all readiness. I'm ready to hear. Yet, searching the scripture daily to find whether the things were so. These Bereans, they have an open heart, a learning heart, a searching heart, and a tested heart, but not just hearing and taking everything they hear, line, hook, and sinker into their heart. And that's not what we're supposed to do. We cannot just hear, even while I'm preaching to you, don't just hear everything, take it in. But to hear attentively, and then to ask yourself whether it is true or false, or just tinted truth, colored truth. It's not about how entertaining, how funny, how knowledgeable was the speaker. I know some people say, I go to church, I laugh a lot. The pastor was so funny. His joke, his sermon is so nice. His joke, I laugh until I cannot stop laughing. It's not about laughing. It's not about how funny he is, how entertaining he is. It's about whether what was spoken from this pulpit, whether it's in Grace City Church or in any church, whether what is spoken from this pulpit, was it true, correct, or false? That is the most important question. I'm not afraid of anyone coming to me today after service or a few weeks later and say, Pastor, you preach was wrong. I'm not afraid of that. Because if I am wrong, I want to know. Don't worry, I won't tell you, don't touch God anointed. That's been used and quoted so wrongly. You got to ask yourself, are you like the Berean? You should imitate this Berean, faithfully studying God's word daily. Discuss it, evaluate the message you hear to see whether it is right or wrong. And one of the good places to do it, as Pastor Aaron have always tell you, go to the powerhouse. There they discuss in depth. Go to the powerhouse. And we have great powerhouse leaders. I'm sure you will be blessed going there. So this Berean, they hear, they check to see whether it's true or false. Today, you don't have to hear me standing here preaching. Today, you have the benefit and the danger of information age, where you can get almost anything you want from internet. How many realize that? Instant news, just as it happened. I mean, I watched on YouTube, American plane take off, shoot missile, hit the place, everything within minutes. This is what the internet has given us. Not like the days of King David. He had to send someone to go up to the tower and seek and look. Oh, the runner is coming back. He's coming back with the answer. Whether are we winning the battle or losing the battle? Today, everything is to you instantly. Internet. It's a neutral tool. There's no evil about internet. It can be used for good or bad. The choice is who? The choice is the user. Now, for you ladies who want to know how you can keep your husband happy with good food, go to the internet. You can improve your cooking from the internet. How do you make roast pork? Internet show you the different ways. You want to know what you need to do to change your tap, change this and change that. The how to do in the internet is all there. I have done a lot of work by Googling this is how you repair and save money. But yet, internet can be a time waster. You can be addicted to it, and through it, you can become antisocial. In the internet, you have 24/7 religious news. But do you know what is real? Do you know what is half-truth? Do you know what is fake news when it comes to the things of God? You need to know the scripture. You need to know the Bible so that you can hear and see and say, this is not what is in line with the scripture. Not just watching and taking all the rubbish in. Remember this, rubbish in, rubbish what? Rubbish out. Sad to say, there are people I knew who went to the net, got caught in the net, and end up with deception and deceit and shipwreck their faith. You can go to the internet, and as more Christians get into the net, for Christian information, the question that you must ask yourself, this is the question I ask myself, you need to ask yourself when you go to the net for Christian information. The question you have asked yourself is this: how does this information empower me to obey God, to do His will, to be more like Jesus Christ? If it does not, it means that you are only growing in where? Growing in your head knowledge. Paul said, knowledge puff up. And there are many Christians whose head is big, but whose heart is what? Very, very small. This is what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 to verse 9. He said, if all these things does not help me to do God's will, to obey God, and become more like Jesus Christ, then they are just garbage. And he used one word, done. He said, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 and verse 9, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Jesus Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I may gain Christ and become one with him. I don't want garbage, say amen. Amen. There's enough garbage that I have to throw out every day. I want what is real. What is real that will change my life, make me a better person, a better father, a better husband, a better employer or employee, a better person. We must be like the Bereans, that what we hear, what we see, we go back to Scripture. To Scripture, the Word of God, the salt of the Spirit. It's the only source to rightly divide the word of truth. The word divide means to cut straight. God's word is to cut straight, not crooked. To cut straight, to cut. Divide means to cut directly. God's word is very direct and able to divide. This is this, that is that. Flesh and spirit, truth and false, faith and real, lie and truth. I want to receive, say amen, but I want to check. Not line, hook, and sinker. So, what happened then? Paul was having a successful time in Berea. Then Satan stirred the troublemakers, the troublemaker from Thessalonica, to come to Berea and create the problem. But Paul and Silas, the messengers with the only life-saving and life-changing message, must continue their journey. One door closed, then another door will what? Open. The door to Athens. Here, from verse 16 to verse 34, the third response to the message is ridiculous. Paul arrived in the great city of Athens, not as a tourist. Today you got a lot of tourists want to go to Athens or sightseeing, but the messengers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He saw a city wholly given to idolatry, to idols, and his heart was deeply stirred and troubled by it. Athens today is Greece. That time, they need the gospel. Today, they need the gospel much more. So he went to this place. He saw a city given to idolatry. Archaeology tell us that every culture throughout history, that's what archaeology say, they are digging up. Every culture throughout history has idol of worship. Statue, little god, godless, godless, god, no. Goddesses. Things like this. Why? Because there is a deep desire. God created man, body, soul, and spirit. The spirit is dead in sin, but yet inside there is a deep desire for what? For a relationship with his creator. So there is a deep desire in human being to worship. And if they don't worship the true and living God, they must worship something. So they worship things, people, or objects. They substitute worshiping the true and living God and substitute with self, things, and people. But when Paul saw a city given to idolatry, so many idols, yet all the idols put together in Athens cannot meet human greatest need. Human greatest need is the sin issue. No religion can solve the sin issue. No government can solve the sin issue. The sin issue can only be solved by Jesus Christ. He died for our sin. Man's greatest need is the sin issue. Man's greatest need is that he wants to be changed. He tried willpower. He tried all kinds of power. Human power, white power, people power. And he finds he cannot change himself. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ is able to change. Because it is through this gospel you become a new creation, a new creature. Only the message of the gospel can meet man's greatest issue, sin, and change man. So when Paul looked at Athens, all the idol worshippers, and there were also many philosophers. There are people there who are searching for knowledge. There are people there searching for pleasure. And when people go to Athens during that time, whether you are a citizen or you are a visitor, your main pursuit to go to Athens is found in verse 21. To spend their time in nothing else but either to tell or hear something new. I want to hear something what? New. You know what the Bible call it? The Bible call it itchy ears. And it's no different from our world today. I want to hear something new so that I do not miss out or I lose out. But the Bible tells us, and he declared in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9, there is no new thing under the sun. Nothing is new under the sun. It may change shape, it may change color, it may change some outlook. It's the same old thing being remade. There's nothing new under the sun. That's what the Bible says. But these people go to Athens, they want to hear something new. So there are two groups of philosophers that were in Athens. You have the Epicureans and the Stoics. If you ever ask yourself this question, I have asked myself this question. If you are honest enough, you may want to put up your hand. If you ever ask yourself this question, do we live to eat or eat to live? Have you asked yourself this question? Put up your hand. Come on, let's be honest. If you ever ask yourself this question, do we live to eat or eat to live? Let me tell you, the philosophy of the Epicurean is this. We live to eat. That's what our life. Their whole purpose in life is to live to eat. Therefore, they want what? They go after the fine things. And what do they go after? Fine food. I'm telling you the story of a poor husband that went with his wife to attend a fine restaurant. The husband sat there, and after eating, he said to the wife, the food was so fine that I cannot find it. And after they paid the bill, the husband tells himself, I think I have to go to McDonald's. And this was what the Epicureans were. They were after the fine things of life. And you realize that this is the world we are living. SBS have a channel 24/7 just on what? F-O-O-D. I watched the YouTube on the buffet around the world. Just out of curiosity. And I tell my wife, when I watch it, two things happen. Neither I feel full or I feel hungry. I would prefer the second one, I feel hungry. And I watch this YouTuber. Some of them eat as if there is no tomorrow. So the Epicureans have this concept of life. Live life for now. Enjoy life now. Their whole meaning is to enjoy life. Have pleasure now. The whole life setting is have a good time. Enjoy life to the fullness. Is it not the same in our world today? Then you have the second group. The Stoics. The Stoics. They were opposite. They saw the world. All the bad things that happen in the world. All the negative things that is happening in the world. And they say there's so much problem in this world. And it's external. I cannot detain it. I cannot control it. It is too big for me. I cannot change or control the external. So what do? They start to look where? The inside. I will start to look inside. You have this philosophy in our world called self-improvement. I'm going to improve myself inside. More self-discipline, more self-control, more self-sufficiency, more do it yourself. And then what happened? When they begin to look inside, they lose the joy of living. That is terrible. When someone loses the purpose and the joy of living, they will take their life. And this is exactly what happened. The first two leaders, of Stoic, the first two leaders committed suicide. There is hopelessness outside of Jesus Christ. So Paul saw all this in Athens, idol worshipper, philosopher, pleasure seeker, same as in our world. Why is that so? Because Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 11 said this word, God has set eternity in our heart. The heart search for meaning and purpose, something more. There is something more to my life than just eat, sleep, work, and play. Some people got no even no play. So deep in the hearts of men, God has put eternity. And eternity asks these three questions. Who am I? Why am I here? And where am I going after here? Who am I? Science attempt to answer the first question. Philosophy wrestle with the second. Why am I here? But only the Christian faith, say amen. Only the Christian faith, only the gospel of Jesus Christ is able to answer all these three questions 100% with flying star, because He is the Creator. He knows us more than we know ourselves. So Paul did not attack them. Paul saw their belief and he spoke on something they never heard before, Jesus Christ and the resurrection. One group hear it, Christ and the resurrection. And he said, Paul, this is a new thing. And he called Paul, you know, a blabber. It's like a bird that pick a seed, an idea that belongs to someone and run with it and promote it as if it was his own. Paul did not pick the seed. Paul picked the truth of who Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection, because he knows and he met and he said, I know whom I have believed. Another group was confused, but interested to hear more about Jesus and the resurrection. So they arranged a meeting for Paul to go to Mars Hill. At Mars Hill, Paul saw all the idols that were there. And he saw the religiosity of man's heart. Men are actually very religious. It's only, what are they religious about? It doesn't have to be God. You can be religious about work. You know that? You can be religious about things. You can be religious about social justice. So men are basically religious. There's something in them that push them. I need to know more than myself. So he went up to this Mars Hill. He saw all the idols that was there, all the inscription. Then he saw something that caught his eye. And there was an altar with this description called "To the Unknown God." These people were so religious that they have so many gods that they were afraid. They were afraid that they'll miss one, or they will offend one. So in order not to miss it, they have this altar to the unknown God. You cannot blame me if I miss you. You are there. When Paul saw the altar to the unknown God, he used it as an opportunity and as an opening to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is how you share the gospel. When you are talking to someone who does not know Jesus, and they are talking and you are talking, sometime in the conversation, there seems to be something that trigger up an opening for you to share something. Have you ever experienced that? There is when you must grab hold, but don't overdo it. Opportunity, you press too hard, you can kill it. So Paul saw their religiosity and they saw this idol, and he took it as an opportunity, as an opening to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said that you have this altar called the unknown God. I'm here today to tell you who is this unknown God. Who is this unknown God? And I want you to know the full truth about this unknown God, that you do not know him, but he knows you. So he said in verse 24, the first truth to the people at Mars Hill, he said, I want you to know the unknown God is the creator. The world have this idea, this Big Bang theory. The Big Bang theory of creation, that something happened in the cosmic, something big and powerful, and then there was a Big Bang. And the world came to existence. No. God is the creator. He creates all things, the world and everything, including humanity. He is not a distant God who is uninvolved in the affair of humanity. In fact, Paul in verse 24 tells them, God cannot be made with human hands. If God can be made with human hands, we are greater than God. See, God cannot make with human hands. And he said, go further, he said, the God who makes the heavens and the earth, who dwells in the heavens, cannot dwell in hand-made temple. And this must shock the people, because in Athens, they have great temple built with human hands, with the human mind they have built it. And Paul looked at them and said, God cannot dwell in all this temple that you made with your hands. In fact, He went further and said to them, God is self-sufficient and in need of nothing. Nothing. No one can add to God. No one can subtract God. He gives to us what we need. Life and breath and all things. We can give nothing to God. In verse 25, God is the one who gives us life, breath, and everything. Every life you have, the next life you have, the next life, the next breath that you have. It all comes from who? Comes from God. So you can't give God anything. He's creator. He gives us all these things. And we can give nothing to God. We can give nothing. Only one thing we can give to God. That's to acknowledge Him and accept Him and worship Him as the creator God. But instead of worshiping the Creator, they glorified themselves with big temples made by human hand, their own creation. And man chose to worship creation and glorify themselves. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to verse 25. So he said, to this unknown God, firstly, I want you to know His creator. Secondly, I want you to know that this unknown God is the ruler. In verse 26 to verse 29. The creator God is both the God of history and the God of geography. In history, in verse 26, He created humanity from what? From one man. From one man, He created humanity. All of us come from who? Not the monkey, not the ape. Come from Adam. From one man. And then He said, He sustained them till today with every breath, with sun and rain. For the scriptures say in verse 27, for in Him we live and we move and have our being. Who we are, how we live, everything that we are comes from Him. In Him we live and move and have our being. Take out God, human being, it's finished. Sometime you ask yourself as a Christian, God, why don't you take all the Christian back and leave all these non-believers who are against you here? I'm telling you, it's us here as God's messenger that we hold God's judgment to this world. In history, no matter what color is your skin, I'm not racist, please. No matter what color is your skin, one thing is common to all men created in the image of God, and that is their blood is always what? Red. You realize that? Any person you cut, it may be A type AA, the blood is always what? Red. Because it all goes back to what? One man. Then he said in geography, God is the one that appoint the boundaries of the nation. It is not the power of man, but the government of God who determines the rise and fall of nation. Daniel chapter 4, verse 35. So he said, to this unknown God, He is creator, He is ruler, and the third thing you need to know, He is the Savior. And He told them, with all your wisdom, with all your wisdom and your culture, you have manufactured God, you have manufactured a temple with your mind and with your hand, but yet you cannot find God. And Paul said, their effort and word were plain ignorant, but God has overlooked in His grace and mercy their time of ignorance. In the fullness of time, God sent a Savior and now commanded men everywhere to repent of their foolishness and ignorance. And if they repent and believe, He will forgive them. This God, the unknown God, is creator, he is ruler, he is savior, and this is one thing. Whenever you talk God as creator, as savior, you cannot talk God about him being judged. This savior was killed, verse 31. This savior was killed and raised from the dead. And one day he will return to judge the world. And the proof that he will judge the world is because he is raised from the dead. There's an appointment. There's an appointment, a day of judgment. The Bible tells us, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, is appointed unto man once to die, after this, the judgment. Because God is creator. He's the one who make us. And not only that, he's the one who rule and sustain us. And he's the one who sent a savior. Now, if they reject the savior who have died for their sin, he is the judge. If you trust Jesus today, he will save you. If you reject him, tomorrow he will judge you. The decision is yours. Make the right decision for your destiny. Again, at Mars Hill, the people hear and the respond were the same. Three responses. Some resist and ridicule. Some receive the message, believe in Jesus Christ and were saved. Today, walk and be empowered by the Holy Spirit to be his messenger. Every one of us here, how do you believe? How do you become his empowered messenger? Firstly, believe in the power of the gospel. Secondly, live in the power of the gospel. What you believe about Jesus Christ, you must be also able to live with it. You may not be perfect, but you should not stop practicing what you believe. And thirdly, you proclaim the message in the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, your responsibility is to be a messenger, announce the message as it is. Holy Spirit's job is to convict them of sin. And how those who hear respond is not your responsibility. But we see in Acts 7, in Jesus' time, there will be some who will resist, there will be some who will receive, there will be some who will ridicule. But the messenger must go and proclaim the message as it is. Acts 17. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord. What an awesome responsibility. What an awesome responsibility that God has given to us. The privilege of being his messenger. He never said that you have to be perfect to be his messenger. He never said that you got to get your life totally right to be his messenger. He said, you are a WIP. What is a WIP? You are a work in progress. And while you are a work in progress, God is working with you. You can tell his message, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. this morning, do not allow rejection of others to stop you from being a messenger. Do not allow the look of their faces to stop you from being a messenger. Be the messenger of Jesus Christ. He is the only answer to our world. He is creator. He is ruler, sustainer. He is savior. And he is judge. While every head is bowed, this morning, you may not know Jesus Christ. You never asked him to come into your life. This morning, I declare to you, he is creator, he is ruler and sustainer, he is savior and judge. And if you have never given your life to Jesus and you want to, would you just slip up your hand? Just put up your hand. Anyone that is here, just put up your hand. And I will pray for you. If all of us here are believers, then let me tell you, the urgency to be that messenger has never become greater than in the time we live. The days are short, Jesus said. When night comes, no man can work. While we have day, use that day. Use that day to become the messenger of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me ask Pastor Aaron to come.
Thank you, Pastor Stewart. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I think Pastor Stewart has given us a very strong and powerful exhortation on the message and the messenger. I'd like us just to take a moment now to reflect and to respond to the Lord personally. Because this is really our time of personal response directly to the Lord. And God is speaking and He has spoken this morning. Are we faithful as messengers? Have we been faithful? Can we be more faithful? Are we being faithful and diligent in hearing and knowing the message directly through the Bible and not just through YouTube or anywhere else? If we are to be the messenger, do we know the message? And thirdly, what is the message that we are proclaiming? What is the message that we are proclaiming? Not with our words, but with our lives. Do our lives reflect the power of the gospel of Christ? Can people see and read and encounter the gospel of Christ by observing us? Would you please respond to the Lord this morning? If it's your desire to say, Lord, I want to be more faithful and to be your faithful messenger, say, Lord, I want to be. Please help me. If it's your desire to say, Lord, I want to know your message diligently and faithfully, Lord, please help me to be diligent in reading your word and to understand and to know your word. And if it's your desire to live the gospel so that your life becomes a testimony of the gospel itself, Lord, would you please help me to live out the power of the gospel of Christ in my life? Would you respond to the Lord in this? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this morning, your word, O Lord. Lord, we ask and pray that for every part of your word that is meant for us, let it sink deep into our hearts. Holy Spirit, would you quicken your words in our hearts and in our lives? Would you stir our hearts and our lives and show us the areas that, Lord, that we need to submit and surrender to you? Help us, Lord, this morning, we pray, from this point onwards, to be faithful as your messengers, to be disciples who make disciples of all nations. Help us this morning, Lord, to have an appetite for your word, a hunger for your word, a hunger that's insatiable. Lord, that we will pursue your word and that we will read your word, O Lord, with such fervor and zeal. And help us, most of all, Lord, we pray, to live out your word in our lives so that people will always be able to see Christ and encounter Christ in and through us. They can encounter your love and the power of the gospel of Christ through our lives. So we give ourselves to you this morning, Lord. Would you come, empower us by your Holy Spirit to be your messengers, effective and faithful messengers. We ask these in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand now and respond to the Lord in this worship song? Sister.
Amen, amen. The Bible says that those who received him and those who believed in him, God has given them the right to become the children of God. Praise the Lord.